Blog Talk Radio.
This is One Child to Be a Survivor to Another Restoration. My name is Lori Ann Smith. I'm just glad to be here. Good morning. It is Monday morning, July 31st, 2017, 7 o'clock here in the morning. I'm just waking up having a coffee. Glad that you can be here. Thanks for joining me here. I really appreciate it. This is just a morning reflection. Really just helps keep me on my healing journey so that I don't put it off and, you know, sort of go for 6 months to a year not working on what I should be working on. So that's why I'm doing these shows, and hopefully they're helpful for somebody else, and just keeps me on track. And that's what we're doing. So it's really just a morning reflection, you know, looking at positive reinforcement, you know, what can I do to sort of help myself in self-care, you know, coping mechanisms, things like this to remind me of things that are useful in my healing journey. So hopefully they'll help you out too. So, yeah, if you're a survivor and you're just listening to this and you're just starting your healing journey, you want to be really careful listening to stuff like this, anything to do with abuse at all. So if you're not sure if you're safe enough to really be listening or not, make sure you're safe enough before you do. And you can get that information like many places. ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, a Morris Center program, has a Survivor to Thriver workbook that's free on their website. You can get that for free. You can just read it there, or you can download it or whatever. And they have a Safety First chapter. It's like 60 pages long. I read it a few times, and it's really worth looking at. So that you can get information there. Or on Havoka, havoka.org, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, .org. They have a safety section as well. So make sure you're safe enough before you listen to anything like this. So if you're not sure if you're going to be, if it might trigger you and cause you to be, you know, have a miserable day, which you don't want, or if it's just going to cause you to struggle and go backward in your healing journey, you don't want that either. So make sure you're safe enough. If you're not sure if you're safe enough that you're going to, you know, maybe hurt yourself or somebody else, get that information first before you listen to anything like this. You know, and turn this show off, and you would not be hurting my feelings at all, right? Because I talk about abuse. I'm talking about abuse. That's what I'm talking about. It's very sensitive, and as a survivor, we all know these things can trigger, so you have to make sure you're safe enough this morning to be listening. If not, just turn the show off, no problem, and get, you know, get some help. And don't struggle on your own. It's terrible. And if you're anybody else, just listen at your own discretion. You know, I'm talking about abuse, serious, very sensitive topic. And, you know, you want to make sure that it's really ultimately your choice to listen. So make the right decision for yourself. And just listen at your own discretion. So we'll get right into this. We are looking at Havoka's website. Havoka's got some great info. I did pop that link into the chat room for anybody who wants to check that out. www.havoca.org, Havoka, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. This is what we've been looking at for a while now. They have some good stuff on their website. I hope you'll check it out. This is a great website. There's this whole survivor section. That's what we're looking at. And we're looking at fear, feelings. We're looking at Fear of Feeling by Margaret Paul. And this is the last part of this one section dealing with feelings. So it's called Fear of Feeling by Margaret Paul. So we're just looking at this morning. I'm just reading right from the website. I think this is really interesting, and it's the last part of this section. So they said here, we desire to find the path to peace, joy, and freedom. We strive to feel lovable, worthy, and secure. We know that if we do our inner work and open to our connection with spirit, we will feel all of that. Yet we don't. We put it off for days or weeks. We stay stuck in our misery or numbness. Why? What are we so afraid of if we open up to learning about loving? Miss Margaret Paul is a PhD professional consumer interbonding. She's got a website, Interbonding, and there's like a free course on there. I signed up for the free course one time and I didn't get it. I didn't get the link to it, so I don't know what happened there, but it looked really interesting to me. So you can check that out. Just type in your browser Margaret Paul or Interbonding, stuff like that. You'll get her website. She's got some good info there. She's got videos that you can watch and stuff like that. Some of their stuff is not free, but some of it is, and I did check some of it out, and it looks like it's really interesting. So this is her. This is what she's saying. What are we so afraid of if we open up to learning about loving? So she says here, I've searched for many years for the answer to this question. Over and over, I would find myself out of grace and joy and into anxiety and stress. And each time it was because I failed to take care of myself in some way. And the problem is that all feelings are in the same box. Pain is in the same box as joy. We cannot be putting a lid on pain without putting a lid on joy as well. And so that's interesting. All feelings are in the same box. Pain is in the same box as joy. So that means pain or, you know, anything we're feeling is in the same box. Any bad feelings that we have are in the same box as the good feelings. It's quite interesting. What is the pain we are striving so hard to avoid feeling? Most people feel a lot of pain. We feel anxious, frightened, depressed, hurt. Since we are often in pain, it doesn't seem to make sense that we are, at the same time as we are feeling all this pain, also avoiding pain. Yet that is exactly what we are doing. As unhappy as we may be feeling, we are avoiding pain that we believe is even greater than the pain we are feeling. So she says, I have discovered that there are three feelings which most people want to avoid at all cost: aloneness, loneliness, and helplessness. So this is just really quite interesting what she's had to say here. You know, it's the feeling work is, you know, dealing with the emotional trauma, really, of, you know, I mean, anybody who's been traumatized, anybody on the planet who's been here long enough has been traumatized in some way. You can't escape that, you know, like it'd be great to live a life with no emotional wounding, with no wounding, period. Isn't going to happen. It's not the world we live in. And so, yeah, this article's interesting for me because, I mean, this is sort of where I was at when I started my healing journey, like back in really 2009. I had started it really in 2007, but I didn't do any real work on anything until 2009. I didn't start my real work on the healing journey for 2 years. I just, you know, I had no idea where to start. And so in 2009 is kind of where I really started looking into information. But, yeah, I mean, trying to avoid pain, of course, because it hurts. So this is why people do this. You know, like this, you know, she said, what is the pain we're striving so hard to avoid feeling? I mean, it's painful, this stuff. It's, you know, it's hard to face what's caused this pain. And that's where I was at, you know, almost 10 years ago. I had been trying to avoid this pain from being abused as a child and the horrific stuff that I witnessed and was made to be a part of growing up, you know, and then the bad choices that I made because of it. It's just, you know, I'd been trying to, it's not like I was in denial, but I just kept pushing it down. And it was just like this cemented layer cake. It was so old and so cemented because it was so old, all of this horrible, horrible stuff that was just weighing me down. You know, I could feel the pressure. It was like I knew at some point I was going to have to allow this stuff to come out and to come up, you know, and deal with it. But when and where, I didn't know. I just knew that at some point it was going to blow. And because I had been avoiding these things, you know, and avoiding the pain, avoiding this, and just so I could survive. And I think that's many times why people do this, you know. It's not so much that we're just trying to avoid it because we're just wimps and we don't want to deal with it. A lot of times it's too much. It's just too much to deal with. It's kind of like, where do you start, you know? And I wish that I would have got help. Like, this is where I tell people, you know, I don't trust counselors and therapists and stuff like that. I really don't. I don't trust one-on-one anything, you know, and really it's understandable. You know, I've been wounded by people in my past that, you know, should have been there for me. I don't trust really anybody because you really can't, you know, but there are people out there that are good, that aren't out to hurt people. You just have to run into them. It's hard to find those people, but they're out there. So for me to try to find a counselor or therapist that I actually trusted would be really difficult. I'd have to go through so many before I even could make a connection in order to do the work. So I just do self-help, right? And I have had some help with two really helpful ladies out of Australia who helped me out with the program Your Envisioned Mind. But other than that, you know, I'm doing this on my own. Because I'm not about to listen to somebody else trying to manipulate me in any way, shape, or form. So I don't trust, there you go, I don't trust counselors and therapists. Because they're people too, and I know that even in their sincerity, I won't be able to tolerate any kind of garbage coming from them. So I'm like, I don't think so. I'll do self-help. And for me, that's just the way it works. But I would say whatever you do, I mean, there was anonymous help. I did get some anonymous help, but it's just by joining anonymous support groups. But whatever you do, make sure you get some help, but don't struggle on your own. Some people will find good counselors and therapists. I've talked to lots of survivors who have found people that can help them out. That's great, and that makes me happy, you know, for them, because I'm like, well, that's good. You know, we shouldn't be struggling on our own and suffering on our own. This is horrible. But many times, you know, we're just, I don't think we push these feelings away just to avoid feeling. I think the pain is too much. You know, that's where I was when I first started my healing journey. I mean, the pain from the afflicted psychological, emotional, you know, physical damage done, the child sexual abuse was just too much. And, of course, I shoved it down there just so I could make it through the day. You know, I had to do something to be able to make it through the day. I did a lot of drugs, you know, from the time I was like 12. I smoked a lot of pot, did a lot of drugs from 12 to 21 to try to avoid the pain, which was really great because it helped keep me sane in a very insane situation. But, you know, it doesn't work as an adult, right? 21, I got off the drugs. Smartest move I could make, I think. I didn't do any work, you know. I just kept that stuff shoved way down there. And I knew at some point it was going to be a serious problem for me because I knew it was there, all the pain from the abuse that I suffered as a child and just watching my family be destroyed by these horrible decisions my parents were making and horrible stuff that was going on. How they were going to treat each other and their children. It was absolutely ridiculous. And as my family members started to drop and dwindle from suicide, drug overdose, and murder and everything else, and nobody had gotten any help, and my parents were still abusing each other and just abusive to all their children, you know, this stuff was never going to go away. It's not like it was going to get better. I had to go out and get my own life and get my own life better. And it's taken me a long, long time. It took me to the age of 42 just to not kill myself. You know, the age of 42, I decided that's it. I'm living. I am absolutely going to live, and I'm absolutely going to make some healthy choices and proper, correct, right decisions for myself as an adult. This is ridiculous. You know, and I couldn't believe that I had allowed myself to struggle from the age where I could have, you know, legally left my abusers behind. You know, let's just even say 18. You know, or 16, somewhere in there, 17, 18, where I could have, you know, been on my own and got some help, right? I struggled on and on and on with this stuff. And it's not like I just wanted to avoid the pain. So that, you know, sometimes I think people just think the survivors are just, you know, wimps. They can't handle anything. That's just not true. The pain is too intense. It's too deep. The wounds are too deep. You can't put a Band-Aid on it. Band-Aid's not gonna do it. This is stuff that requires major surgery, you know, as far as emotions go and feelings. This pain is horrific. And so I kind of like what, she, you know, that she's even just addressing this stuff. And it's good because it helps us to see where we're at. So she says, I've discovered that there are three feelings which most people want to avoid at all costs: aloneness, loneliness, and helplessness. Aloneness is what we feel inside when we are disconnected from God. Now, she's obviously a spiritual person. Some people would say aloneness is what we feel inside when we feel when we're disconnected from whatever our higher power is, I would say. Because I'm a Christian, but not everybody is, and so I don't bring my Christianity into my stuff here, right? Because I was abused by a Christian. So I know other survivors have been in the same boat, and I had problems with God, like I talk about seriously on all my shows along, you know, most of the time, is the fact that I just, you know, I was so angry at God, I cursed him. Didn't want anything to do with him because I believed in him. I just cursed him. And so, you know, I've got this Christian background that, you know, I was abused by a Christian and then angry at God for allowing the abuse to happen in the first place. And so a lot of people just have problems with that. So I don't bring spirituality into this particular show, One Child to Be a Survivor to Another. I do that on other stuff that I do, like Ustream videos looking at sort of that sort of thing in a spiritual aspect, if anybody wants to check those out. So I do, like, one of them anyway is dealing with that stuff. It's biblical counseling information, but it is very much my story, again, just with the Christian, my Christian walk. I don't really mix that here with this, because I know myself, when I was, before I really became spiritual, let's just say, back in 2007, if somebody would have mentioned God or this, something spiritual to me or the Bible or anything, I would have just shut them out. I didn't want to hear it. I was like, look, don't tell me about this God of yours. I don't want to hear it, you know. And so I don't mix that with this, but I think what she said here is interesting. Loneliness is what we feel when we cannot connect with one another, either because our heart is closed, their heart is closed, or both of our hearts are closed. Helplessness is what we would feel if, when we want to connect with another and his or her heart is closed, and we accept that there is nothing we can do to make them open their heart. Helplessness is what we feel when we accept our lack of control over others. And so she says, when we were babies and small children, we couldn't allow ourselves to feel these feelings. We could not have handled them and may have died of despair. So we learned many protections to avoid feeling these feelings. And so, well, as an abuse survivor, I mean, growing up abused, I wasn't loved until the age of 12 and taken care of until the age of 12 and then abused. I mean, I've been abused since I was born. It's all I knew. So, yeah, pretty horrific. I think it would have been worse if I had been taken care of and loved and cared for until the age of, like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then abused. That would have been even worse, I think. For me, I grew up abused. That's what I knew. I wasn't expecting anything else, really, until I got older. You know, when I was really little, I didn't, it was just the way our house was. This is the way the life was, right? When I got older, I started to sort of, you know, you're in school and the teachers are teaching you about, oh, we love our family and we love our parents. And you know, you start feeling these feelings and it's like, yeah, I do. I love my parents and my family. But it's so painful. It's so painful because that's never going to be reciprocated. So these things, this is really hard then as an adult to be stuck with the knowledge that, you know, knowing that relationship is never going to happen. So, you know, what she's saying here, helplessness is what we feel when we accept our lack of control over others. Well, of course, you can't control others. It doesn't work. I could never get love from my parents, no matter how I tried. It didn't matter how good I was, you know, or anything else. Or what I did for them. I could never gain or win or warrant my parents' love, right? And so, you know, that is a sort of, I agree with her, that's a bit of a sense of helplessness, right? And it's never, you know, especially as a young person. Now that I'm older, I could see that it just wasn't going to happen. And my inner children are the ones who are feeling the rage and the pain from that. My adult self understands, but my inner self from my childhood, my little inner wounded selves don't understand it. Pretty horrible. So I have to get in touch with this stuff. See, and this is very difficult. So she says, the problem is that we still think we will die if we feel these feelings. So we are still avoiding them. We avoid connecting with God for fear that God will not be there and we will feel alone. We get angry, withdraw, eat, drink, take drugs, watch TV, get busy, overwork, and so on to avoid feeling the pain of our loneliness and helplessness. And I think that's true. I think that's what I was doing, you know. I was doing anything and everything to avoid the pain. So that's what she's basically talking about here. It's quite interesting. And you can pick up the rest of this. We'll look at the rest of this article on Friday, but you can pick that up. Fear of feeling. It's from Havoca, H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoca.org. So next up, positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives, progress instead of negative thoughts all the time. what am I doing right in my daily walk? Well, first of all, just trying, you know, every day to keep going on my healing journey. Keep trying to take care of myself, you know, do the proper things. Get the proper rest, you know. Eat right, which I never do. try to just do some more self-care stuff, which is really important. At least I'm trying. I would say that's a positive reinforcement. I'm still working on it. So that's something we can always find something to be positive about, even if it, you know, other people may look at that and say, well, that's not really, you know, doing anything. It's like, well, you know what? Yes, it is. If I got out of bed this morning and put one foot in front of the other, it's like, I think that's pretty good, especially for a Monday morning. So, you know, they have to look at the positives, right? Not the negatives. There's so many times, you know, we could get down on ourselves and we could just become really discouraged. And, you know, it's too easy, right? Way too easy. So I think it's really important to look at the positives and see what we've done right in our daily walk. This weekend, I took it easy. I didn't overdo it. It was too hot here anyway, and we have a bit of a heat wave going on where I live right now. No air conditioning, just a little fan. So I'm just taking it easy and not overdoing it, not putting too much stress and pressure on myself to get things done. I'm not making huge lists and trying to get everything done all at the same time. I'm just sort of setting these small goals. I got to get this done, this done, this done. And so I think that's a positive. I'm not overdoing, trying to do too much, which then puts pressure on me to, and sort of causes me to struggle, especially with the area of like, well, I can't do it. I can't do anything right, you know. Then I start getting down on myself. So I think this is where this is a problem. That's why we have to be careful with that and look at some positives instead of just being negative all the time, right? Affirmations from problems. This is also from Havoka. This is looking at their affirmation section, getting started affirmations. And it's the top tips, right? We looked at, Friday we looked at list your qualities. And this morning we're looking at affirmations from problems. You can turn problems and discomfort into affirmations, they said. First, write a simple statement about your discomfort or problem. What is the core belief surrounding your problem or discomfort? So what is the core belief surrounding your problem or discomfort? So if I have any kind of issue going on, like today, something come up, write it in a single sentence, they said. For example, I don't measure up in my relationships. So now invert the sentence. Write out the exact contradiction of this. So, example, I am complete, whole, sufficient, thoroughly mature, and responsible in all my relationships. I like that. So, yeah, if some core belief is bothering me today, like, you know, stuff that will come at me and hit me late, you know, like throughout the day, especially if things aren't going right, because I wasn't allowed to feel as a child. Obviously, abused children are not allowed to express their feelings, right? And so if I'm having kind of a hard day, especially at work or whatever, or something's going on, and then I get upset about it, because I've gotten upset about it, then I beat myself up for it, just like I would have been beaten as a child. So I'm my own abuser, basically. Then I'm feeling bad about myself. It's kind of like a self-torture thing. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, yeah, you're just an idiot. You're a bad person. You're this, you're that, you know. Never should have been born. You're just rotten and evil, and you know, this stuff just runs through my mind. So I guess if something like that comes up, you know, today, I could just negate that. I could write down that core belief, that very toxic core belief about my that I'm working on, you know, that's causing me problems or discomfort. For instance, you know, I'm never going to make it. And I should have just been born stillborn. That's what my mother used to tell me. I should have just been born dead with the other stillborn babies, right? Because she loved to throw that out at me. Because I was born out of rape, right? She didn't want me. Two were born before me, but they didn't make it. They were stillborn. So she would have had 10 children, but 7 of us made it. There was 3 actually in there somewhere. But 2 just before I was born actually didn't make it. And so she used to tell me, you should have just been born dead with like the other stillborn babies. That's what she would tell me. Really horrific, right? So I just grew up, really believing that I should have just been dead, right, my whole life, right? Absolutely horrific, man. This is so when I believe something like that comes up, then all of a sudden I'm thinking, yeah, I don't deserve to be here anyway. I'm just useless, worthless, you know, this and that, right? This stuff just rolls through my head, right? It's just this inner abuser stuff coming from my mom mainly. And so what I can do is write it down and say, no, I can write that down and say, yeah, you just should have been born dead with the other stillborn babies. Then I can negate that and say, I deserve to live like every other human being on this planet. I deserve life, and I made it. I'm here, and I do the best I can every day to be good to myself and good to others. So as soon as I hear that core belief, that horrible, toxic things that my mother used to tell me, I could write them down and then negate it and really start writing this stuff out so that you know, like they say here, they said here, I'm a complete, whole, sufficient, thoroughly mature and responsible in all my relationships. What was getting me down, they said here, provided the key to a very powerful affirmation, one that is exactly what the doctor ordered. So find another person you trust, they said, and say your new affirmation out loud. Verbalize it with eye contact. And the core belief will pull at you the first time you say this, but continue saying it with eye contact 10 or 15 times. And you will notice that the energy surrounding the core belief dissipates as you continue saying the new affirmation. So they said, use this technique as a powerful way to work with negative beliefs. Invert your negative belief and turn it into positive affirmation. As a negative belief is recognized, think what the exact contradiction would be, and then verbally practice the contradicting statements aloud with increasing sureness, genuineness, and power. Make this statement until you can say it very powerfully and genuinely. So that's awesome, and I really like that. That's very important, I think, because anybody could have these things going on in their lives, you know, any core belief that, you know, says we're not good enough, I'll never make it, I'm stupid, I'm worthless, whatever these issues are. We need to negate that. Got to find a way to do it. So, like, that's sort of the end of that part of it. That was top tips from Havoka. And, I mean, they had, you know, visualization, reminders, writing power, people power, recordings, word power, list your qualities, and affirmations for problems. So I like that. It's very, very good. It's good to remember this stuff because these things can help. They really can. Just have to do it. We have to do the work. Friday we'll look at this particular section. This is what I wanted to look at, positive self-talk. I think this is really interesting. So that's what we'll look at on Friday. And we have about 4 minutes left. Let's look at some coping stuff. Self-care, what am I doing actually? What am I doing self-care? What am I doing physically, you know, emotionally, spiritually, care for myself? How am I doing? I can ask myself this. Well, I'm very slow on the self-care stuff as far as physical stuff goes because I just let my physical body go because my physical body, to me, is damaged, right? I mean, I was abused, sexually abused, physically. I don't really like my body that much, you know. I was made to hate my body. I was made to hate myself. And so I don't really like it, you know what I mean? But I have to take care of it because it's got to get me through here while I'm on the earth, right? So it's like, okay, you know, what can I do to try to help myself, you know? Besides, you know, I mean, I've kind of been working on detrimental, you know, trying to kill myself for years. So I'm like, what can I do to help myself? It's like, well, I could try to eat better, you know, get some physical exercise like of some sort. So I bought a rower, which I haven't used for 2 years. It's sitting here. It's very dusty. It's sitting right in front of me, but I just don't want to get on it. I used to like to row, but, you know, that was after I broke my ankle and I had to get walking again. So I just hate exercise. And I really just like to sit around in my own stuff and just sit and read and, you know, work on stuff, you know, whatever it is. Really not into physical exercise, right? So I have to force myself to do this. So I'm working on that. This is very interesting. You know, and it's important, right, to do this stuff. If we put it off, I watched my mom allow herself to just go completely down. But she was abused. She was abused as a child. She was abused by her husband. She didn't take care of herself. She was a mess. I mean, my mother was a mess. Had 10 babies. 7 of them lived. 3 did. So we have to really be, you know, think about what we're doing, and be good to ourselves, you know, on every level for self-care, physical, you know, spiritual, emotionally. You know, we can do these things to help ourselves out, right? We have about a minute left here. So, let's see. Friday we'll look at some coping mechanisms and creating safe environments. I think that's interesting. That's from, you can type it into your browser, Irving Studios or Child Abuse Survivor Monument. Just type that in and you'll get that under their Survivor tab. I like these brainy quotes here. This is from Brainy Quote. Never, never, never give up, Winston Churchill. That's what I always say. Never give up. Never, never, never. And also, only I can change my life. No one can do it for me. Carol Burnett. I really like that. That's exactly right. Only I can change my life for the better. Only I can make things better for myself. Nobody else can. So I like what Carol Burnett said there. Only I can change my life. No one can do it for me. We have to do it, right? So we have about a minute left. Thanks for being here, everybody. You know, take good care of yourselves. If you're struggling, you're having a hard time. I say this on every show because, you know, it's really important because I know how hard it is. And sometimes we don't have people to talk to, you know. We don't have anybody in our life who can help us. We don't have anybody there. You call a crisis line. You do whatever you have to do. Or get anonymous help. Just go on two of these anonymous websites, you know. That's what I did for, at first when I first started my healing journey. Make sure you get help. Don't struggle on your own. And have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you.